Hey, guess who it is? It's Silly Auntie Sissy, the hostess with the mostest, and I'm here for you guys. We're telling some stories. We got the very end of the Boxcar Blue Bay mystery. It's stretching out, and we got some tones and things to do, poems and things to do. And it's Italian Heritage Month, and it was just the Jewish New Year. So we got a lot going on in the world today. And our uni says, what is Jewish New Year? Well, don't you remember? You blow the shofar, like that, and it makes you cry, and it makes you just be happy. And it's all about niceness. And it's Italian Heritage Month, so I'd like to say a shout out to all my Italians. Woo woo! We got this. Hey, we got this. Thanks for listening to the Silly Auntie Sissy Show, where we go on adventures and we read the stories that make you feel happy and whole. So gather your family around and listen to the latest adventures from Silly Auntie Sissy on Blue Bay Mystery. All right, and let's read a poem first. If I had a brontosaurus, and this, of course, is from Where the Sidewalk Ends. If I had a brontosaurus, I would name him Horace or Morris. But if suddenly one day he had a little brontosaurus, I would change his name to Laurie. Benjamin Bunn. Here we go, Benjamin Bunn. Poor Benjamin Bunn from Willimonton. His buttons will not come undone. He hasn't changed his clothes since last July, 'cause no one can unbutton him. I think we read this one, but let's do it again. No matter how hard they try, poor guy, all that he can take off are his socks and shoes and tie. And all that he can do is sit and bite his tongue and cry. And he cannot take a bath, so let the water run. And he can't go to the toilet, and he can't get any sun. And he just isn't any fun. For Benjamin, life isn't fun. For Benjamin Bunn from Willimonton, whose buttons will not come undone. The Battle. Would you like to hear of the terrible night when I bravely fought the no? All right. Minnie Minnie. Minnow Minnie. May I ask you if you've noticed? May I ask you if you've seen my Minnow Minnie who was swimming in your Ovaltine? For you've gone and drunk it up, dear, and she isn't in the cup, dear, and she's nowhere to be found, dear. Do you think she has drowned, dear? Uh-oh. That is talent. And then here we go. That's it. We'll do the razor-tailed wren next time. And one poem. What do you think, guys? One poem from the best book of all. Well, do we have it? Yes, we do. Unicorn, how are you today?
I'm fine, Silly Auntie Sissy. I'm enjoying your poems. I always like your poems.
Well, I'm glad you do. How about this one? This one from Carolyn Kennedy's book of poems that she collected. And this is by Wallace Stevens. The house was quiet and the world was calm. The house was quiet and the world was calm. The reader became the book, and summer nights was like the conscious being of the book. The house was quiet and the world was calm. The words were spoken as if there was no book, except that the reader leaned above the page, wanted much most to be the scholar to whom his book is true, to whom the summer night is like a perfection of thought. The house was quiet because it had to be. The quiet was part of the meaning, part of the mind, the access of the perfection to the page. And the world was calm, the truth in a calm world, in which there is no other meaning itself. Is calm itself as summer and night itself? Is the reader leaning late and reading there? There we go. That is an amazing story. And that is why I read, because reading is amazing. So everyone needs to read a story and find their true inner selves. Right? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Let's see. Since Halloween is coming up, playing as witches. Help your child understand the difference between real and pretend. A witch's hat, a black cap, or piece of dark material, dress-up skirt, magic wand, toy, or made from cardboard. Encourage your child to dress up like a witch. How does a witch talk? Can you laugh like a witch or make your face like an angry witch? If they want to help your child come up with a story about a witch, can they act it out? Things to talk about. Are you a real witch or a pretend one? Are there any real witches? Pretending about the future. You'll need ball, scarf, dress-up clothes, and accessories. Things to talk about. Do crystal balls work? Can anyone predict the future? Help your child develop their imagination and learn more about growing. Talk about unhappy feelings. Take something along. You'll need nothing. Ask a child if they ever felt nervous before a new experience, like going to a doctor or riding a bus. Do they take anything special with them? A windstorm. You'll need scarves, crayons, or purple markers, paper, any kind of crayons. Let your child pretend to be a windstorm by flapping around with scarves, caps, or pieces of soft material. Encourage your child to make blowing sounds as they move. Can they show you the difference between a soft breeze and gusty wind? When you're ready to end the activity, help your child calm down by asking them to pretend to be leaves that flutter in a gentle breeze. Let your child use the crayons and paper to make a picture of a windstorm. Things to talk about. How do you feel on a very windy day? Are you safe inside your home? How about one last one? This is adventures. An airplane ride. Help your children learn more about their world and develop their imagination. Has a child ever been on an airplane? Do they remember what it was like? If not, encourage them to tell you what they think it would be like. Construct or draw wings on the sides of the box and let your child sit inside with their luggage. Things to talk about and pretend they're flying. What was a plane flying to? What will it be like there? And let's imagine. One last one. Can your child think of a time when they can't move around and play as they like, such as when they're buckled in the car? Come up with a few things they can use their imagination during those times. For example, imagine they are on a rocket ship. Play I Spy. Take turns telling familiar stories. Things to talk about. Can you use your imagination to play when you have to be quiet and you need nothing? Dreaming. I lied. One more. You'll need paper, crayons. Things to talk about. What did you daydream about? Was it something that could really happen? And a shadow play. Oh, this one is fun. I like making shadow puppets. A bright light, like a desk lamp or a flashlight. Remind your child that they can always talk to you about the things that frighten them. Tell your child about a time when you saw something that turned out to be very different than you thought. Shine a bright light on the wall and imagine your child. Encourage your child to use their fingers to make something. To make shadow puppets. Do the shadows look like anything? Things to talk about. Are the shadows scary when you know what they are? Have you ever thought something was very different from what it was? And that is it. And those are the most important things. And you can make a whole play out of shadow puppets. Just like Uni is a shadow puppet. Our little unicorn, you know. He's not a shadow puppet. He's real. What I mean is, just like he's a puppet, but you can do a puppet with your finger. Hello, my name is Little Ravioli. Hello.
Hello. I like to eat lollipops for supper. Do you like lollipops?
I do. Can I give you one? Well, my mommy said and daddy said not to take any lollipops from strangers. Well, I'm your Uncle Freddy. Oh, that's right. Yay, Uncle Freddy. Thank you.
Good little niece. And that is a story about lollipops. And that's a shadow puppet. You can't see it.
but you can do amazing things with your hands and create a story and act. Now, on to the last couple of chapters. Chapter 11, Peter. Chapter 11, Mr. Peter. What happened at the chapter 10? Peter all of a sudden saw somebody. Oh, no, Benny saw people. And so that's the thing. Chapter 11, Peter. Back at the cave, Mike was saying, "You can have another turn, Ben. I'm coming down." But of course, Benny did not answer. He was not there. "Goodness," cried Jesse, "where's Benny?" They began to call, "Benny, Benny." They all listened. "I hear a funny noise over that way," said Violet, pointing. "It sounds like Benny. He's in trouble." The children crashed through the bushes and over the rocks. They were calling, "Benny, Benny," all the time. And suddenly, right before their eyes, they saw a strange sight. Benny and a stranger were sitting on the edge of a deep hole. "Oh, Benny, are you hurt?" cried Jesse. "No, not at all," said Benny. "This is Peter. I fell into his trap, and he pulled me out." Henry came out and sat down by the boys. He said to Peter, "Have you been alone on this island?" "Yes," said Peter. "I've been alone for about 3 weeks." "3 weeks?" cried Henry. "How did you know?" "I cut some marks in a tree. Mr. Anderson was with me at first. He cut the marks for 6 months. So after he went, I cut them myself on every day, one every day." "Who is Mr. Anderson?" "He was a sailor," asked Jesse. "He was a sailor," said the boy. "Our ship hit a reef and went down. I was in a lifeboat with Mr. Anderson, and we came to the island. We were together for 6 months, and Mr. Anderson went swimming, and I never saw him again." "So you've been here almost 7 months," said Jesse. "That's right," said Peter. "How in the world did you get along?" asked Jesse. "Oh, I get along fine. I did just what Mr. Anderson did." "Tell me something, Peter," said Mike. "How did you happen to make your bed in the cave?" "I thought it would be fun," said Peter. "Once I read about some children who are all alone. Then it rained so hard, I had to get somewhere out of the rain. These rocks made a fine roof. I used to sit and watch the rain before you came to the island." Henry whispered to Benny, "Don't tell him about us now. Later you can." Mike looked at Peter and said, "Did you take our crackers that day?" Peter looked upset. "I'm sorry about that," he said. "I've been here so long, and everything was free. I could take anything I wanted, bananas, fish, coconuts, oysters, crabs, and sugarcane. And when I saw the crackers, I took those too." "It's all right," said Mike. "Nobody thinks I took them now." Henry said, "Peter, why didn't you call out to us before? Were you afraid of us?" "Yes, I was," said Peter. "Mr. Anderson said we must keep very still. If I saw anyone on the island, I mustn't let anyone know I was here." "I suppose he meant dangerous men like cannibals," said Henry. "But there aren't any more cannibals around here." "I don't know," said Peter. "You might be dangerous. I've watched you for a long time, and now I know you're all right." "I didn't know then, but now I know, of course." "A good thing we found you," said Henry. We know you can take care of yourself," said Jesse. "But you can live with us and have some of our food. And we are going away soon. Don't you want to go along?" "Yes, I do," said Peter. "I miss my father and mother. I used to live near Boston." "We'll take you to Boston," said Benny, "just as soon as our ship comes, and we'll find your mother and father for you." "Here, old fellow," said Henry. "Don't promise. We'll try. And if anyone can find your parents, grandfather can." Mike said, "Let's learn how. And also, look how brown you are, Peter." "Oh, I'm just sunburned. I've been living in the sun for so long." "Come on, Peter. We'll take you to see Lars and Grandfather." Peter did not ask who they were because he knew very well. He said, "I watched you the day you came on the island. Maya was scared when I saw the ship. I watched you when you found the turtle shell. I heard every word you said. I watched you find my boat, and I was afraid you would take my boat away." "Yes, we heard you whine and moan," said Benny. "I thought someone was in trouble, and it was you." The family began to walk back to the houses. Jesse said, "Didn't you almost forget how to talk, Peter?" "Oh, I always talk to myself," said Peter. "I talked all day until you came, and then I had my bird to talk to."
"What can he say?" asked Mike.
"She," said Peter. "Old Myra is a girl. She says, 'Good morning.'"
"Good night, and hello, Peter, and thank you, and yes, no, and happy birthday. Look out, it's hot."
"She says that, too."
"I can see she's quite a talker," said Henry. "She must be a lot of company for you."
"Yes, I love old Miner."
"That's her name, because Mr. Anderson said it was a Mina bird."
"Isn't it better to have people for company, Peter?" asked Violet.
"Oh, yes," said Peter. "That's why I came to help Benny out of my trap. I thought the time had come, and you are all alone without the others."
"It's wonderful," said Jesse.
"Won't Grandfather and Lars be surprised?" But just then, Lars was going very fast and very quietly back to the house. When the children came home, Lars was sitting there on the top of the hut, still fixing the roof.
"Lars," cried Benny,
"what's going on?"
"See what we found? Our mystery.
We found our mystery man who've been watching us."
"Oh my," said Grandfather.
Lars looked up and saw Peter. "Oh, a boy," Lars said. "Where did you find him, Mr. Alden?"
"Come and see this boy, Mr. Alden."
Mr. Alden came to the door and looked out.
"It's Peter, Grandfather," said Henry. "He has lived here for so very long."
"For 6 months." Mr. Alden tried to wake up. He thought he was dreaming. He said,
6 months?
How could he?
He lived just the way we do," said Benny.
"Only he never had any crackers or milk or meat."
Lars said, "Now, Peter, come and sit down and tell us about this. Did you come in the lifeboat that is all filled with sand?"
"Yes, sir," said Peter. "Mr. Anderson and I came in it 6 months ago."
Lars and Mr. Alden looked at each other. Then Mr. Alden came and sat down. He said, "Peter, I'd like to know more about the shipwreck. I suppose it was a shipwreck. Can you bear to tell me?"
"Oh, yes," said Peter. "I'd like to. Maybe it won't seem so bad if I tell somebody. There was a terrible storm in the middle of the night. We all were seasick. Then the ship hit a reef and began to go down. The sailors got 3 lifeboats over the side. I was in one with my mother and father and Mr. Anderson. Then some others got in and the boat tipped over. Everybody went into the water. I couldn't see a thing."
"Don't you think your parents were saved?" asked Mr. Alden gently.
"I don't know," said Peter. "Maybe, but it was very dark, you know. I was going down. Suddenly I felt Mr. Anderson lifting me into a boat again. When I woke up, I was there. I never saw any other boat after that."
"Your parents think you were lost then," said Grandfather.
"Yes, I'm sure they do."
"If they were saved," Lars said.
"Some people get picked up because the paper said they were taken to San Francisco."
"Is that so?" said Peter. He looked at Lars quickly.
"Maybe my mother and father were saved, but they would never know about me. Mr. Anderson and I never saw any ship."
"Yes, it was because the wreck must have been quite far away," said Grandfather.
"It was, yes. Because Mr. Anderson told me he rowed a whole day and night. I didn't think anyone would ever come. I wish you would cut my hair, please."
"Henry, can you cut hair very well?" asked Mike.
Violet took the scissors and handed them to Henry to begin his work.
"I can," Henry said, and Henry began to cut.
He said, "You'd better save this long hair, Peter. Someday you'll like to see it." Then he cut Peter's hair like Mike's.
"You look fine now," said Henry.
You did very well to live alone, Peter, said Lars. I think you're very brave. I had to be, said Peter. I'm sorry about my clothes. Do they look terrible? Everyone had noticed what Peter was wearing. He looked very strange. He was wearing lots of big leaves that were tied with brown strings. And many more brown strings hung down. I got some strings off a coconut, said Peter, and I tied leaves together. One time I lost a button, but when I washed my clothes, then they were just worn out. Mike got up. He ran down to the box. He came back at once and held his hand to Peter. Peter said, oh, thank you, after he took a look. Then he cried, my button! I lost it in a pool right down there. He pointed, I never could find it. You couldn't find it because our fish ate it, said Mike. Then we ate the fish. Oh, may I have my button, said Peter. I'd love to keep it. Grandfather got up. Yes, Peter, keep it, he said. Henry, go and fix up some of your clothes for Peter. He will feel better if he looks better. The two boys went into the house at once. Soon they came back. Peter looked like a different boy. Henry said to Lars, who do you think the sea star is? I mean, when do you think the sea star will come back? Well, well, said Lars, this is the first time anyone has said one word about the sea star. She may come back any time now. Lars said, yay. Yes, it's true. Anytime now. Jesse said, you see, we didn't want to leave Blue Bay, and now we do. We want to find Peter's father and mother. I've almost forgotten what they look like, said Peter, but I will know them. Grandfather said quietly, what is your last name, Peter? Peter what? Horn, said Peter. Horn, shouted Mike and Benny at once. Our teacher, said Benny. That was our teacher's name, too. I knew it made me think of cows. Cows, said Jesse. What are you talking about? Well, cows have horns, said Benny. Oh, dear. You're the funniest boy, laughed Jesse. Peter Horn, said Mr. Alden slowly. He was thinking. My father's name is Peter Horn, too, said Peter. That will help my boy, said Mr. Alden. We'll try to find them. But you understand they may not be alive, don't you? Oh, yes, said Peter. I was just thinking what I would do if we went home and we couldn't find them. Don't worry about that, Peter, said Henry. You can live with us and be a part of our family. Peter could not believe his eyes when everyone smiled and nodded, even Mr. Alden himself. Chapter 12. Shall we read one more? We're enjoying this adventure, aren't we? Let's read one more. Do it, my friends. Chapter 12, 8 in the Family. Grandfather was thinking. He said, Benny, you must not think that Peter's mother is your teacher just because she had the same name. There are many people named Horn. What happened to Mr. Anderson? Lars said. I don't know, said Peter. He said he was going swimming near Sandy Beach, but he never came back. You mean a very green bay? Asked Mike. No, I mean the one on the other side where the boat is. Nobody said a word, but everyone thought Shark Bay. How lucky we were to have Lars with us. Jesse said suddenly, are you hungry, Peter? Not very, said Peter, but you do have some more crackers, don't you? You see, they make me think of bread. I haven't had any bread for 6 months. 6 months, cried Violet. That's why I took the crackers, Mr. Lars, said Peter. That's all right, don't worry, said Lars. I did worry, said Peter. When I saw you were blaming the other boy, me, said Mike. Yes, Mike, I'm awfully sorry. Think nothing of it, said Mike. Come on, Ben. The two boys raced for the sea biscuit. It was some fun to see Peter eat crackers. He seemed half starved. Wait until you see what we have for supper, said Benny. We're trying to have stew and a pudding. A pudding? Oh, yes, I remember what a pudding is, said Peter. He stopped eating for a moment. A pudding is sweet. Yes, said Mike. Ours is made of coconut milk, sugar cane, and bananas. Sounds yummy, said Peter. Sounds good. My mother used to cook good things. I hope we can find her.
Well, if Grandfather can't find her, nobody can, said Benny. He has ways. Mike said suddenly, you can have my blanket, Peter. Peter said, you are a very kind boy, Mike, but I wouldn't know what to do with a blanket. I can sleep on a rock. I'm hard all over. You must show us how to climb trees, said Henry. It's easy, said Peter. If there's something you want at the top of the tree. Mr. Alden was listening to all this. He was wide awake now. He watched Peter carefully. A good boy, he said. Just think of our children living here for 6 months. Just think of one of our children. He shook himself. He had a plan which he did not tell anyone, but he told them all. Something else. Now we have 8 in the family. It was a happy family at supper. Lars gave his spoon to Peter. He took the big cooking spoon himself. They all began to eat more stew. All at once a voice said, look out, it's hot. Who said that? Cried Mike. It's old Mina, said Peter. He made a funny noise with his mouth. Down flew a dark purple bird. It had white on its wings and orange on its head. Hello, Mina, said Peter. Hello, Peter, said Mina. Oh, make him say something about me, begged Mike. Her, said Peter. He took the bird on his finger and said, Mina, say what's the matter, Mike? The bird said nothing. She won't talk for us, said Benny. She's afraid. Oh, no, she's not afraid, said Peter. She has to study every new word. Peter said it again 2 or 3 more times. He fed the bird a piece of meat. Look out, it's hot. Then he went right along without stopping. What's the matter, Mike? Mike was delighted. What a talker, he said. Maybe we should teach her to sing. Look out, it's hot. What's the matter, Mike? Look out, it's hot. What's the matter, Mike? Oh, she can sing already, said Peter, as the Mina bird went along. Mina sing, my country, tis of thee, he hummed. Watch out, Mike. It's hot. Sure enough, Mina sang it right after him. My country, tis of thee. She's wonderful, said Henry. She's got a funny voice when she sings, said Mike. So have some people, said Benny. Her singing voice is different. Henry said, soon we will have to think about the ships coming. I mean, get our things ready. My shoes are almost worn out. I've never had any shoes here. I didn't have time to put them on the night the ship was wrecked. Feel my feet, Benny. Benny did so. Oh, your feet are as hard as rocks. Really, Henry, feel them. Henry said, yes, they are just like a dog's foot. You have been climbing trees and rocks for so long. Peter, it would be terrible for you to wear shoes. Yes, but I'd like some new shoes, said Peter. I used to dream of having new shoes. Then they tried the pudding. It was delicious. When supper was ready, Peter began to teach them to climb trees. Oh, you have to take off your shoes, he said. Henry tried a few times and did very well. It's much easier without shoes. Soon my feet will be as hard as yours, Peter. Then we'll take a long time, said Peter, and I hope we won't stay that long. When they went to bed that night, old Mina went to sleep first. For the first time in 3 weeks, nobody was watching from the trees. Ahead on the great ocean, the sea star was coming nearer and nearer. Captain Brown smiled to himself. He laughed when he thought of Benny and Mike. He didn't know that there was another boy now named Peter Horn. Chapter 13, Sea Star. All right, guys. And this has been a fun adventure. We got 2 more chapters left, Sea Star and Home. What will happen? Will little Peter find his family? Well, thanks for listening to Silly Auntie Sissy's Adventures. Come again and we'll go on an adventure. We'll have some fun and we'll rock this little world with Silly Auntie Sissy, where you'll get all your dreams to come true. Silly Auntie Sissy loves you. Come back again for another adventure. Bye. And Uni says bye. Bye. Happy New Year, happy Italian Heritage Month, happy.